right, you ready, Anthony?
Yeah, yeah. Let's.
There's a bit of a pause there. Do you need some time to consider it?
I needed to take a breath.
What are you in an iron lung? Well, how long do you need to take a breath?
I'm just trying to look. If the good people at Rexall find out that I put down that I have a pre-existing condition, which is asthma, so I feel like this will just lend to that credibility if I'm ever looked into.
By the way, I don't know if anybody's still in iron lungs. I think modern medicine has made those things kind of obsolete.
You know what? I think the only portrayal of an iron lung that I've ever seen anywhere in pop culture, I think, was in The Big Lebowski. Remember that movie?
Yeah, I remember that. I've got the DVD.
There's a guy in an iron lung. I think it was some obscure plot line where they went to that kid's house because they thought he stole the money. And the kid's father was in an iron lung. Remember that? It was super awkward.
Yeah, iron lungs are kind of the elephant in the room.
You know? Well,
what have you been up to? Well, lying here on my back looking at a mirror.
What's the mirror for? I mean, what?
I guess so you're not looking at the ceiling?
So you can remember that you look terrible?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's kind of demoralizing. Looking at your face the entire time as you lie there.
Look, I think if you're lying there in an iron lung, the mirror is the least of your worries as far as your mental health.
Nowadays, with flat screens, if they had iron lungs, they could put a screen there, like the ones in vans where you see them in passenger vans so the kids can watch in the back seat.
You could do you call exhibit and you could do pimp my iron lung and you could put like a water feature.
Yeah, have somebody tag the iron lung.
I would tell you, you could do a water feature and, you know, it could be more expressive of your personality as was done on that show.
And if the person in the iron lung didn't like it, couldn't really do anything about it.
You can't really sell it on Kijiji after that, right? You're pretty much tied down.
Years ago, I wanted to do a promo for a pilot of a cop buddy show.
Sure.
Where one of the cops was in an iron lung.
Uh-huh.
And it had like tank treads on it. So he could go places. We never actually did it because it was too expensive to even consider doing something like that.
Because where do you get like a surplus iron lung that's not in use anymore?
And how do you attach tire treads to it?
I feel like an iron lung is something that like Robin Black would have in his living room, like painted. Like all funky colors.
I think Robin has given up all that freakazoid stuff.
All the freakazoid stuff?
Yeah, I think he's given up all that stuff from his days as a glam rocker who got his testicles nailed to chairs by his girlfriend and not in a fight. It was deliberate. I think he's changed. He's a different guy.
He's
the
mellowed.
Same guy. I still like him. He's still a good, decent guy. I've always liked Robin. We've always gotten along.
Yeah.
I was even in one of his videos.
Okay. Well, he hasn't given
he's
up.
He's different now.
You know, we used to be neighbors, actually. He lived around the same place I did over in Queen West. And if you're saying he's not that guy anymore, he still hasn't given up the crow haircut.
Well, it's sort of a modified crow.
It's a modified crow B.
Yeah, it's a modified crow. All right. Welcome to Ed the Sock Lives.
Yeah.
We're officially starting the show now.
Hey, everybody.
Yeah, this is Anthony Howell is with me.
Yeah, I think you can just say it's Anthony now. I don't know if the last name is necessary going forward.
There's all every podcast is somebody's first podcast.
Well, okay.
So somebody be listening saying, who's this guy Anthony? Now,
right.
Giving your last name doesn't fill in any of those blanks. So instead,
exactly.
It's who's this guy Anthony Howell?
Who's this guy, Anthony Howell? I can't find him on social media.
Yeah, I mean, for your generation not to be on social media, you're some kind of hermit.
It's, I would like to say I'm more of a unicorn or an exception to the rule because I'm a millennial. I have to feel good about my choice and it makes me unique, right?
Yeah, unique, same as all the other people who made the same choice.
I've always kind of been made fun of as being kind of an like old person in a young person's body a little bit. So I feel like it's on brand.
Better than the opposite.
A young person in an old person's body?
Yeah.
That's not a good look for anybody.
No, that's like an episode of Quantum Leap.
Yeah.
Remember that show, Quantum Leap?
No.
You don't remember Quantum Leap?
Is there you know what's weird? I see occasionally a billboard for Quantum Leap and it looks super low budget and I don't know if that's on purpose.
No, it wasn't a low budget show. It was a hit show for years. It was this scientist
yeah.
Who found a way to sort of time travel.
Is there a portal involved in this show?
Yeah, like he projected himself into this portal, and he winds up in the body of different people. Like every episode's a different person.
So it's like being John Malkovich.
Well, he fixes that person's life. It's like he's being drawn to these people at a critical juncture in their life, and he fixes their life by being them. Thank you for that. And then he leaves. That he's called to another body. There's a computer that's doing all this, but he can't get back home. And he's followed around by his buddy, who's a hologram. He's real, but he appears to Sam as a hologram, because he's actually in the lab in the time when he left. But he appears through the program as a hologram, and it's a very entertaining show. The really depressing thing about it is it went for a number of years. Every episode, he's in a different person's body.
Yeah.
The last episode, they put up a thing that said, Sam Beckett never made it back to his own body. So he spent eternity jumping from body to body and never went home again. That was awfully dark and depressing. Yeah.
Wow.
That's depressing.
Do you remember that movie, Waking Life? Did you ever see that? That was like... It was like this weird movie that was like rotoscoped. So like it looked like animation, but it was
rotoscoping is, it's bizarre.
It's weird. It kind of sounds like that, like the end of that movie, like these sort of like movies where it's like Inception. Oh, who knows what happened at the, whereas it's like, we're going to be very anticlimactic, but they just went straight depressing at the end of that, I guess.
Yeah, it was, I was kind of stunned by it.
So
it
now that I've
Scott Bakula, who now that is now in, NCIS New Orleans.
How do you spell that? Like Dracula with a B?
No, oh, back just one.
Oh yeah, this guy looks. Wow, what a chin on that guy! Holy, talk about a face shape.
I haven't liked him in anything but Quantum Leap. He's had other series. He was in Enterprise, that Star Trek show that ran a few years.
It didn't do well, did it? Did it come after?
It did well enough for a Star Trek show and ran a few years.
Move it along. I never watched that one. I stopped after Voyager.
Well, you didn't watch Deep Sleep Nine?
No. It was so boring.
Yeah, the new one is really good.
The only thing I remember is really good. The only thing I remember about Deep Space Nine is like this one episode where the Ferengi gets his ears rubbed and it like you get, you know, whatever, he really likes that, you know.
What is he, a cat?
Well, apparently the Ferengi, I guess the whole joke in the Ferengi universe in Star Trek is that their ears are like, obviously they're gigantic, so like any sort of stimulation is like magnified or intensified. So I remember there was like, he was in the bar and some girl came by and somebody else on the ship and was touching his ears and like trying to get information out of him. And that really, really worked for him.
And then obviously stuck in your head.
That's what stuck in my head because it was just so weird.
The new Star Trek Discovery is so much better than regular Star Trek.
Like, where would you put it? Would you compare it? Like, what's your order?
I would compare it to the original series in a sense.
Did you like Picard? Were you a Picard person?
I liked
person?
Picard. I didn't like the show.
Oh, okay.
I thought the show was preachy.
Now, Janeway was pretty ahead of her time. I mean, where was Hollywood complaining about there not being women represented in roles of power when she was the captain?
All right, she was one. you could look around and not find any others.
Well,
I like Janeway.
Deanna Troi was a counselor. Oh, okay, all the women. Like, think about it. Beverly Crusher was a doctor. Deanna Troi was a counselor. These were all fairly, they weren't.
Well, yeah, but
being
Star Trek is supposed to be so future oriented. Everything's diverse.
Yeah.
One thing they've never had in Star Trek, they've had every kind of background. They've never had a Jew in Star Trek. It's like, it's some kind of Hitler fantasy where there's no Jews in the future.
No Jews in space.
No Jews in space. They've never had a character with a Jewish last name. Other last name under the sun, they have character. They have aliens from worlds where people are talking fungus, but they've never had a Jew in Star Trek.
I'm pretty sure Jason Alexander played a character. I don't think he played it, but he is a Jew. He didn't play one.
Exactly. I'm a Jew, but I don't play one on TV. They've never had a Jewish character in Star Trek. Everything under the sun, including made up species, but never a Jew.
Maybe they were worried that they were going to complain that it was too cold in space.
What the hell is that supposed to mean?
Jews
are famous for complaining that it's cold.
Maybe they forgot to bring a sweater and they're really upset.
It wouldn't be an old Jew. It would be a young member of the crew. And I think the temperature controls on the Enterprise are quite fine.
I feel like it would be questioned. That's all.
All right. Well, I'm questioning why it's not there. We're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the nude MP. Well, the photo of the nude MP. We're going to talk about, what the hell's this guy's name? Roger something French. The guy who starred in Bridgerton, the series on Netflix, which I would rather poke my head with barbecue implements than ever watch a second episode of that show. We're going to talk about his.
I found the photo.
Oh, I didn't look for the photo. Anyway,
the actual leaked photo.
We're going to probably talk about Simpson voices and Apu. And we're going to play First Impressions again because it was such a big hit last week.
We've gotten a slew of emails.
So, yeah, a slew. I love that word. All right. In fact, we've had none. Nobody complained.
Yeah. Well, none is better than stop it. So.
Yes. Nobody complained. And that on this show is a roaring success.
Green light.
Right. So, Anthony.
Yeah.
Moving on to other topics.
Certainly.
This topic is one that has been a lightning rod for Canadian media. William Amos, an MP for Quebec riding, went to his office after he'd had a run, and he was changing into his work clothes from his run clothes. At one point, he was completely naked, and he didn't realize the camera was on, and somebody, one of the other MPs who was watching, snapped a screenshot and then anonymously sent it out.
I got the photo here. I'm looking at it.
Why are you looking at the photo? Do you really need to see that? You can't envision it yourself?
Well, I mean, a picture is worth 1,000 words, isn't it? Or
it depends on the picture and it depends on the words.
Well, I don't know. Whoever took the photo must have had a pretty good sense of time because the guy is like 100%. Top to bottom nude. The only thing is he's got like one of those Galaxy XL type phones because that's what's there obscuring his junk.
You know, if you really want to do the math, you could work out the width and length of the Galaxy phone.
The rise over run.
And that can tell you, it can estimate the size of his...
The angle of the dangle.
Genitals. Exactly. You know, I think that it broke parliamentary rules and broke the law distributing this picture. Oh. You're not allowed to distribute naked images of somebody without their consent. It's against the law. It's the whole thing against trying to stop revenge porn.
Okay.
Stuff like that. So, and it broke parliamentary rules because you're not supposed to release something to the public that occurs in a non-public facing parliamentary committee or meeting.
So do you assume that this was a power move, that whoever took that photo is trying to play politics or?
Well, I don't know. See, both the leader of the Bloc and the leader of the NDP came forward, sympathized with the MP and assured them that nobody in their caucus sent that picture.
Phrasing.
So it's like playing a game of Clue.
Who done it?
Missing from this equation. Aaron O'Toole.
Oh,
so he didn't say nobody in his caucus did it.
So,
by the way, using the word caucus while we're talking about this nude picture is kind of funny.
And O'Toole as well.
Yeah,
you did too, and you didn't even realize it.
I love how mature we are.
Well, I mean, come on, this is pretty ridiculous. I mean, there has to be. This is clearly not. I don't think this qualifies as revenge porn. I think it qualifies.
No,
as
this
just
is.
Like,
I'm saying the law was put in place to stop revenge porn.
Yes, but what does this have to do with revenge porn? This is clearly just a practical joke. I don't think
it's
that.
No, it's not a practical joke. It's not. You wouldn't feel it was a practical joke if it was you.
Hey, man, I'm starting to look pretty good. I'm getting results from my Ripped in 90 Days. And as long as there is a phone covering up my bird, I don't, whatever. I think it's kind of funny.
All right. Well, you're not in a position where the public
this is why
needs
I'm not.
To have confidence in you.
Well, whatever.
You're not even That's on probably... social media.
I know. It's wonderful.
I feel sorry for the guy, sort of.
Sort of.
But the thing is, he said he didn't know the camera was on.
Isn't the camera always on?
I don't, like, I have a camera.
I know
my
in my
computer.
There's a light on the computer.
Yeah, my camera is an external camera.
Everybody knows when their camera.
I disconnect my camera when I'm not using it.
From the angle, it's like, it looks like he's like, oh, I was changing from a run. But why did he feel the need to walk up to his desk? Is that where he keeps all of his stuff? I remember in my old man's chamber, because my old man was a Superior Court Justice, he had a chambers. The chambers had its own area with a bathroom and like coat hanger and all that kind of stuff. And like, that's where, you know, if he had to change to his judge's robes or shower after a long day, he would do it there. So why is he approaching his desk?
I don't think MP offices have showers.
Oh, okay.
I can pretty much guarantee you they don't have showers.
So, judges have it. Okay, judges probably, would have it better, wouldn't they?
Well, there's fewer judges in one building than there are MPs. You know how many showers they would need?
Right.
Hundreds.
It just looks kind of the same. It looks like the same style of office, that's all. So I was just like, maybe he's got a little zone.
I just don't understand. How do you not know your camera is on and you're part of a meeting? That's what I don't understand. How can you not know that there's a meeting going on that you've signed into? You were out on a run. You come back. I understand assuming that while you were out, you didn't sign into any meeting, but you have to actually activate joining a meeting.
It would be up
doesn't
on your
happen, but to you, you have to participate and join it. So how did this just happen to him? There's a piece of this puzzle that doesn't make sense to me.
Summing
how did his
up.
Camera just happen to be on? I do FaceTime. I do Google Meetings. I do Zoom. Skype.
They don't spontaneously open.
No, you have to actually sign yourself in. So how was the camera on by accident? This is what I don't understand. Is he claiming that somebody hacked his computer and activated his camera and signed him into the program?
And then knew at that precise moment that he'd be walking by with his junk out? Like
this. See, there's something that does. Everybody is criticizing the press for publishing it, which I agree. The press could have told the story without printing the picture, because the press is now aiding and abetting in what is a violation of criminal code. So the press was just being immature with this,
right.
Unlike us who were laughing about the word caucus.
and
the press was being very immature about it and treating the whole thing like just a little tee-hee-hee, prurient little story. And so people are criticizing the press. People are criticizing whoever this MP is. And whoever this MP is that comes forward, it was an MP or somebody in an MP's office, whoever they are, whenever they're tracked down. And it's very hard not to be tracked down these days. You know, there's metadata. There's all kinds of stuff. It's very hard to not be tracked down. I mean, you watch TV shows, they track them down in a half second.
Right.
And of course, TV shows represent reality. So this guy or girl is going to get caught.
Whoever did it, they'll be able to figure it out. If they care enough to launch an investigation, they could easily just say, okay, well, here's all the IP addresses. Who took this screenshot? All they have to do is look at every computer that was on that meeting at that time. And then they can just say, okay, screenshot was taken at da 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 da. Gotcha. You know?
Yeah. Well, unless you go in, you delete the screenshot.
Yeah. But there should be a log of that. It was a private feed. Like, I'm pretty sure everything you do on your computer, there's a log of, even if you delete it, like if they really care enough.
Well, they're doing an investigation, apparently.
Okay.
So
we'll get to the bottom of it.
The best thing for this MP to do, if it is an MP, is step forward and apologize. Don't wait to get called out.
Right.
You may get thrown out of parliament. You may be thrown off of committees. You may be thrown out of caucus.
Yeah.
But that'll happen anyways. If you get caught, the best chance that this person has of have some semblance of their career is to come forward now and apologize.
Yeah, I think that's probably it. I mean,
were you pondering there during that silence, that prolonged silence?
I'm just reading the article about it.
Oh, that's good. Let's all wait and leave dead air while Anthony reads.
I was giving you your moment, and I was just kind of seeing if there's anything in there to mine. What do we got here? Yeah, no, nothing really. I guess it was on a private loop.
Yeah, so, on a private parliamentary service.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody said, okay, Claude Debelfuy first raised the incident shortly. Question period. It might be worth reminding members, especially the men, that a jacket and tie are mandatory, but also are a shirt, underwear, and pants. I think members need to be reminded to be careful and check if their camera is on. What? It was obviously an accident. He didn't, he wasn't,
no,
like,
he's not wrong.
He wasn't clacking in front of, it was a female. She said.
Oh, okay. She's not wrong. She's not wrong. I mean, her point was phrased stupidly.
Right. Well, she said it in French, so it was translated. But I mean,
it doesn't matter. It was a smarmy, smug comment that didn't deal with the fact this poor guy who was humiliated. She could have just said, "This is a good time to remind everybody to keep checking if their camera is on." That could have been the point that was made. But this whole joke about shirt and tie, as well as shirt, underwear, and pants, that's a little cold. She's cold, man.
Well, I guess, what's it say here? Chief Government Whip said that shortly after the photo was shared, he heard from the Bloc NDP, made compelling cases that this breach of privacy did not happen from within their offices. So maybe somebody hacked it. I mean, cameras get hacked. That's entirely possible. It could have come.
Oh, my God. Who would waste their time hacking a parliamentary committee or something? Oh, my God. That's so dull. You ever watched CPAC on TV?
Exactly.
Oh, my God. Nobody has.
Right.
All right. This has been fascinating. But I don't know if I should feel sorry for this guy, because only a putz has his camera on by accident, especially when he's been out of the office, unless so they can prove that somebody activated his camera remotely, then this falls on him. It's not right to have distributed the photograph, but the mistake is his.
I mean, just as we've known about these little cameras and that they could potentially be on when, so why be walking around your office like that in front of the screen at all?
A lot of cameras come with a little visor that you can flip down over the lens when you're not using the camera. Or people put a piece of tape over their camera on the laptop.
They're afraid of Big Brother, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, these are basic precautions.
I think it's in the social consciousness enough to kind of just have it built in. Like, if you're going to be walking around naked, maybe don't step in front of a camera, whether it's on or off. You're never going to know, really. So just try and make that happen going forward, and no more embarrassing photos of your bird out online.
I'm kind of creeped out with the notion that MPs walk around their office naked.
I guess it does expose a larger truth.
Yes, that's very well put. Yeah. A larger truth, or perhaps a moderate truth, or a very small truth.
They're people too. A completely uninteresting truth that we'll forget about by tomorrow because something else crazy will have happened.
All right. Good point. So let's forget about it now.
Okay.
We've spoken about it. We've beaten it to death. Let's move on. The thing I want to talk about now, there's something that pisses me off this week.
Uh-oh. Is it time again?
Why Ed's pissed.
All right. Yeah. Nice job, Anthony.
Yeah, thank
you.
The
thing I'm really pissed about, I have no problem with casting agents taking roles in remakes or in adaptations of novels or comic books or TV shows, and taking roles that were played by white people before and having them played by people of diverse backgrounds when it doesn't change the character, when it's not fundamental to the character. I see nothing wrong with that. On the Supergirl TV series, they made Jimmy Olsen a black guy. Okay, no problem. Different interpretation of it. They've done things like that with other characters. I hate when they trumpet it like it's some kind of, like, look at us, look how good we are. We're changing this character's ethnicity. I think that we're past the days when a character who's just a character and their ethnicity is not a function of the storyline, when we're past that time when it's default white. So just to give you that background is when I get into what I'm pissed off about. Now, there was a TV series a few years ago called Krypton. It was terrible. Even for a Superman fan like me, one episode and I checked out. It was awful. It was about Superman's grandfather on the planet Krypton and the political intrigues and so on. And it looked a lot like the art style of the Man of Steel movie, their version of Krypton. And there was an actor, I should look this Joker's name up. I had it before, now I forget it. What's his name? Regé Jean Page. It's a British actor, black guy, handsome looking fella. He was apparently considered for the role of Superman's grandfather, and Jeff Johns, who was the chief creative officer at the time, was looking for an actor who looked like a young Henry Cavill, because they were trying to establish some physical resemblance between Henry Cavill as Superman and his grandfather. And so he nixed this guy, Regé Jean Page, and said he didn't look like Henry Cavill. It turned into a story where he said, no black actor could play Superman's grandfather. And he didn't actually say that. What he said was this guy didn't look the part. Now that is saying that a black actor can't look the part, because a black actor doesn't look like Henry Cavill. And people are freaking out, saying what racism this is. This is ridiculous. If you don't look like the ethnicity that is important to the character, or you don't resemble another actor, then you don't fit the part. It's like if you're doing a movie about Wilt Chamberlain, are they gonna hire a 5'2" Asian guy? You know, it doesn't make any sense. Some things have to be true to the way they were written. Other things, fine. But when it's important and it has something to do with the ethnicity, has something to do with the character, then leave it alone. Stop, people are crying and losing their minds saying how racist this was. It wasn't racist, it's called casting. Casting agents look for somebody who looks the part. He didn't look the part. Yes, he didn't look the part because he was black, but he also didn't look the part because his facial construction wasn't like Henry Cavill. And it drives, then there was a story about on the Superman and Lois team, there was a writer, a black woman, who was fired, and she said she was fired because she was black. And she gave an example that she kept saying that a black character in the show, a woman, should keep changing her hairstyle because black women like to change their hairstyle. And they said, no, she's not going to change her hairstyle. And to her, that was a sign that they were anti-black, when in fact what it was is, in television shows, you shoot out of sequence. You shoot episodes out of sequence. The hair has to stay the same every episode. It can't change like she wanted. But again, she got so much mileage out of claiming there was racism in the writer's room because she was proposing something which is just not technically possible. You can't shoot a scene for episode 3 and then go back to episode 2 and the hair is completely different. And then the rest of episode 3, the hair is different than it was in the scene that was shot before that. You can't do that. That's why people's hairstyles stay the same on television, because they shoot out of sequence. All of these things, it obscures the fact that there is a problem with not casting actors of color in Hollywood. You take a real problem and then you make it seem silly with these kind of arguments, which are not good arguments. They're not proof that there's racism in Hollywood. These are two issues of practicality. And I can't stand the amount of press this story has got. And then the guy, Jean Page, said that it's more hurtful now since he heard the explanation. It's even more hurtful. Dude, you didn't get the role. You probably auditioned for lots of roles you didn't get. You're an actor. And I'm just sick and tired of this woke stuff's gone too far. They always do that. They've got a good point. They have a good point in what they're saying. They have a good point and a good cause in trying to increase representation in Hollywood on, you know, behind the camera and in front of the camera. And then they go nuts. Once they start, you give them an inch and they take a mile and they start to go beyond levels of rationality. And that's what pisses me off. Are you there?
Hey. No, I just wanted to give you the floor, or just step back as it were. Not that I was giving you the floor, but just, I didn't want to interrupt because I do that. Okay.
Do you understand what my point, though?
Of course I understand your point. It's white people accusing other white people of being racist in circumstances where they're clearly not being racist.
Race might be a factor because of look or something like that, but isn't actually racist. It's not actually demeaning black people. It's not actually hating them. It's not actually marginalizing them. It's something where the appropriate choice for that particular role or that particular scene is not the one that includes a black woman changing her hairstyle frequently, or a character who is black and doesn't look anything like the character they're trying to make him look like.
I think it boils down to one simple word: continuity.
Well, yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's not like on Krypton, when you're a grandfather, you're a different, or you're a kid or whatever. Like, how can you have Henry? When can you cite one precedent whereby there was a younger actor portraying an older, already established character, and that younger actor was completely inappropriate for that portrayal?
Can you imagine a sitcom on TV and it features two little blonde, blue-eyed girls, twins? Let's just say the Olsen twins.
Sure.
They were kids.
Pretty
and
much.
Their birth parents are a Chinese woman and a black man. Wouldn't that seem a little bit odd? Wouldn't that stretch credulity a little bit? Aren't there times? And it's just the same thing if you got a pair of black kids and like Gary Coleman, and the parents are white and Asian. Wouldn't that seem like, hey, this is an example of going past rationality and good sense, doing this just to show what good people you are, and you're ruining the product in the process.
We're ruining the product, and also it's extremely insulting to any person of color, wouldn't it be? Wouldn't that, like, we're just trying to put you into wherever we can because we have to make sure that everybody knows that we're on your side. It's like, why don't you create characters that are irrespective of race, like where it makes sense? You're just pigeonholing people just so that you can check a box, rather than creating characters where they're going to cast a person of color or something like that, and it actually makes sense. It's like putting a person of color in a role that doesn't make any sense as far as continuity is concerned.
And you can do the same thing with a white person, can go into a role where it doesn't make any sense. You know, Kim's Convenience.
I was just going to say, like,
that just ended. If they had the entire cast as it is, but the son, instead of being played by Simo Liu, is played by
Jonathan Torrens or somebody.
Yeah, played by a white kid. And nobody comments on the fact that this is their birth son, but he's white and they're Korean.
Well, that would
it wouldn't be appropriate. It would be ridiculous.
Well, they would just, like, that would be, if the roles were reversed and it was a white person cast as the younger version of a black person, then they would just cry racism, racism, racism all day long, which is what they're doing anyway.
And it would be stupid. It would be a stupid.
Of course it would be stupid. It would take
you. Everybody Hates Chris, that sitcom that was around that was based on the younger years of Chris Rock.
Yeah.
What if they had a little Chinese kid playing young Chris Rock?
Or if it was,
we have to be colorblind in our casting. Would that make any sense to anybody?
Of course not. Of course not. It's a ridiculous argument. It's a ridiculous argument.
Thank you for putting the final words on that. All right. That's just what pisses me off. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about, we'll play First Impressions.
Let's do it. I got some good ones.
If we have time, we'll talk about Apu from The Simpsons.
Yeah.
But no guaranteeing that we're going to have that, because once again, the spectacular First Impressions game show is coming your way after this break. So
I've prepared things this time.
He prepared things this time. Like, the show actually had some preparation.
Yeah.
I know it doesn't seem like it.
Thought
we try very hard when there's preparation to make it seem like there's been none. Now, Anthony, this brings us to the point in the show. We're going to try week two of First Impressions, a game show created by you but improved by me last week as we were trying to play it.
Well, it's lucky. Good being on your team, man. Make everything better. Turd polisher extraordinaire.
All right. So I don't know how you can polish a turd. It's
You can.
It's not solid.
They did it on Mythbusters. It's possible. I'll send you a link.
You have to freeze it.
No. No, it's possible. I'll send you the link.
You know what? Keep it. All right. We're going to play this game. And what happens in this game is Anthony does an impression, and I try to guess who the impression is of. But you say there's a twist this week, Anthony?
Yeah, I need. Not only do you have to guess the impression, you have to guess the context of the impression as well.
What?
I mean, it's fairly easy. So the characters that I'll be portraying, well, I mean, at least one or two of them will be, I'm kind of doing a little bit of a twist on it. So let me just get through a couple here and you'll see what I mean.
This doesn't make any sense. You're supposed to do impressions that are easily understood, you know, use characters.
They will be easily understood, but
trying to make it like characters doing an acting role. So it's their characters.
So they are their characters. It's just maybe, so it's going to be kind of famous lines or things that you would understand as being part of this character's persona, but just with a little twist here and there.
All right, I'll give it a shot. I think I might twist your neck after this. All right.
You'll see what I mean.
All right.
I mean,
you got to make a song, a little stinger for first impressions. You got to do that for next week.
I got to brainstorm.
You know what? Actually, don't make one. Don't make one until we get through this week. It may never happen again.
Okay. I got to go on key. I need a keyboard from Kijiji. Maybe we can find something. Okay. All right. So here's the first one.
All right. First one. The first impression. Here is Anthony.
All right. Here we go. As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a dog whisperer.
Tom Hanks is Forrest Gump.
Okay, let me try this again. As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a dog whisperer.
Billy Bob Thornton in Sling Blade.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a dog whisperer. That's a little too New York.
Al Pacino in Cruising?
No, you haven't gotten any of them. It was Ray Liotta in Goodfellas.
Well, that's not my fault that you did a terrible impression.
This is the worst one. I couldn't get it quite right.
What did you do with it?
Because the line is, as far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster. But in my version, he wanted to be a dog whisperer.
Wait a second. You can't, if it's an emblematic line for the character and the actor,
well, that's
you can't
supposed to
change it.
That's the whole point, is that it's supposed to be an iconic line. And
you can't change it. You got to do the line.
Okay. So I'll do the original line.
No, forget it. Move on. I don't want to hear any more of that bad impression.
Okay, that one was bad. This one I think is pretty good. Okay, ready?
Oh, dear lovey. I was walking across the living room this afternoon. We have to do something about these corgis.
Jim Backus playing Thurston Howell III on Gilligan's Island.
Something has to be done about these corgis, darling. I was walking through the living room and stepped in some of the poops and it squished between my toes. It's horrible.
Some British guy on The Crown.
The Crown is right. Yeah, that's Prince Philip.
Well, that I can't say. I would have guessed Prince Philip, but that doesn't. I don't know the actor's name, so I didn't go there.
Well, it's Prince Philip from the Crown. So you
The Crown right.
You got The Crown right. He steps in dog shit. Okay, that's what happened. Sorry, The Crown. Okay, so here's the third one. Okay, ready?
All right.
Everybody look under their seat and collect their free bag of anthrax.
Is that Oprah Winfrey and her giving free car away?
She's giving away anthrax.
I just told you, you can't change the iconic line.
Well, you got
and
it,
one,
though.
And one in entry over, you change the iconic line. Can you not pivot?
This is I'm just trying to stick to it as created. And I appreciate the feedback. We'll have to make the amendments for next week for the next time we do it, which I'm assuming is totally going to happen. So I have one more. It's a singing one. It's a singing one. And you're going to have to guess it. Okay. Ready? Here it comes.
All right.
Carry ma. No, you can't read my poker face.
Lady Gaga?
It's the song by Lady Gaga, but who's performing it?
Eric Cartman?
Can't read me.
can't read me. No, you can't read my poker face. Some contestant on American Idol?
No, that's wrong. That's wrong. It's Michael McDonald. It's Michael McDonald singing
from the
Lady
Doobie
Gaga.
Brothers.
From the Doobie Brothers.
Did he ever sing that song?
No, he didn't.
Then yeah, why did you do that? If you'd done a Mike McDonald song, I would have known it was Mike McDonald. You have no idea how to play this game. You created it, and you have no concept of how to play this game. None at all.
I said there was going to be a twist. That's the twist. I was taking them out of their... I was tweaking the famous lines to try and
twist
it so it would be harder for you to guess.
We played one week, and you're going to give a twist.
You said it was too easy last week. So I was like, how can I make it a little bit harder?
Don't make it impossible.
How is that impossible? You basically
First of all, you don't do a good impression of Mike McDonald singing. No. You sound like Slim Whitman.
Who's Slim Whitman? I don't know who that is.
The yodeling cowboy.
Oh, the yodeling cowboy.
Una paloma blanca. He sold more records than the Beatles.
So did, who's the other guy, the flute guy?
Zamfir.
Not Zamfir, not Yanni.
Kenny G?
Kenny G, maybe? He sold a lot with the flute,
didn't
he?
Does Kenny G do the flute? Doesn't he do, like, the sax?
Or was it, sorry, the saxophone. I think, well, didn't he play kind of a soprano sax, like the little flute? The little sax?
Yeah, they castrated it.
The straight saxophone? The one that doesn't have a bend in it?
You realize asking me Kenny G trivia is not going to get you very far.
Or us any more listeners, for that matter.
You never know. There's probably a rabid collection of Reddit board users that love
Kenny G fans. Die hard. He is quite popular. Yeah, I'm looking at a photo of him here. The long, straight saxophone.
That was the worst game I've ever played.
What?
Your game today was terrible.
You did pretty good though. I mean, you missed Ray Liotta, but you got Prince Philip. I mean, you got it was from The Crown. You got that. You got Oprah, and you got Poker Face from. Okay, so you didn't do that well, but you know, well, maybe
you
it's me.
Do you
may got to
well.
Work a little
I
more
was
on these
fine. But... Oh man.
So who wins? Who wins? Do I win
Nobody.
Because I stumped
Everyone's
you? Or
a
do,
loser. Does... You're a loser because you did it badly. I'm a loser because I participated. The audience is losers because they listened. There are no winners in this circumstance. There are no victory conditions.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for listening to what I just said.
Well, I'm going to leave it open to the audience. If they want to hear any more of this, if you want to hear... any more of this game show, First Impressions, email me. It's a new email address, edthesock@newmusicnation.ca. edthesock@newmusicnation.ca. edthesock@newmusicnation.ca, which leaves me a good time to point out the Indiegogo is still on. This is my new project. It's a video music online channel with the spirit of Much Music, but focusing on indie artists, the kinds who don't get attention from big record labels, but need the platform. They're all over Canada. They're very talented. I keep getting videos sent to me. I'm surprised at the quality. We need a platform like Much Music used to be to present these indie artists and give people a sampling of music they wouldn't otherwise see. Because if you use YouTube, the algorithm just suggests a video that's pretty much like the one you just listened to or watched. Well, the benefit of New Music Nation is the next video in sequence won't be just like the one you watched before that. It'll be a palate cleanser. So you get whole variety of things.
Hey, Ed.
What?
Did you get my email? I submitted my band's video to you.
No, you didn't.
Sure I did.
No, you didn't. What is this? Gimmick you're playing now?
What would you do if I did? Would that?
I would give it the same rigorous test as I gave everybody else. Nobody gets by just because I know them. They have to be good.
Well, all right.
Will you stop talking like someone just died? All right. Ed the Sock at newmusicnation.ca. If you want to get some perks and rewards that are one time only being offered to support the Indiegogo, you go to IGG. That's IGG.me/@NMN. That's too hard to remember. What, go to newmusicnation.ca. Newmusicnation.ca. Go there and click the Indiegogo logo. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's do it, people.
Your energy kind of dropped as this show went on. And I'm losing the will to live.
I think the caffeine's wearing off.
I think it was that bomb. I'm bringing back the puns next week.
Oh, right. No, come on.
All right, that's it. He's Anthony Howell. I'm Ed the Sock. This show has been Ed the Sock Lives on Saga 960 AM.